Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. Today, we're going to be talking about a subject that has been controversial ever since long before I was born. That subject is abortion and the rights of the unborn. So, buckle your seatbelts. Today's episode is called Preborn Rights Are Human Rights. Let's get started. First thing we need to understand is that the pro-choice crowd often uses obscuring language, meaning like terms that make it harder to tie what they're arguing for back to the topic at hand. Some examples of this obscuring language are use of terms like fetus and embryo and sometimes clump of cells if we're talking about a child in the early stages of pregnancy, for example. And the point of this is to try and pivot away from the fact that what we're talking about here is a human in the earliest stages of development. It's almost as if they imply that that child in the womb can become something other than a human. For example, like, it's almost like they think, or at least want you to think, they probably don't believe this themselves, that a man and a woman can conceive and 9 months later give birth to a banana, or a dog, or an oak tree. We obviously know that's not the case. Obviously, that child cannot become anything other than a human. Because that child's DNA is human. The child's DNA is the same DNA he'll be born with at the time of conception. Even scientists agree that at the time of conception, you have a one-celled organism on your hands. What is an organism? An organism is a living thing. A cat is an organism. A tree is an organism. A cockroach is an organism, just like we are organisms, although we are created in the image of God. So, actually, when you try to argue for the murder of a human being at any stage, it is worse, objectively speaking, than arguing for the murder of a cockroach or the chopping down of a tree. We all agree that after the child is born. It's just that sometimes people separate the child in the womb from all of that. It's almost like it's out of sight, out of mind. Anyway, the closest intellectually serious argument to what would be implied by suggesting that that child can become something other than a human is called spontaneous generation. It has fallen out of favor in the last few hundred years since we understand more about how animals and people and other living things are born, are created. But back in the day, people believed that, for example, mice would spring up if you left certain things out in a certain way. There were recipes for mice, which I don't know why you would want to generate mice, even if you could, because cat food's been around for over 100 years, but hey, whatever floats your boat, I guess. I mean, some people have pet rats. But anyway, that's not even what they're arguing, because they're not arguing that if you leave some bread out, you'll, next thing you know, you'll have a little boy. It's not like that's what they're arguing. It's disingenuous, actually. The tactic of using obscuring language is disingenuous because it forces the people arguing for protecting preborn children to have to then sit down and decode this other terminology rather than just coming out and saying the word unborn baby. But obviously the reason why they're doing it is because they don't want to admit that it's an unborn baby, because if you argue for the murder of a baby, of course, that's going to be unable to stand up morally. I mean, if you argued for the murder of a 7-year-old, it would be immoral. And there's no reason why a child should be excluded from that just because he hasn't yet had the chance to take his first breath. Okay, so then the next point is debunking the arguments against allowing the child to have a right to be born is they'll say, well, what if his mother was raped, or what if his mother was the victim of crimes I don't even want to say out loud because they're horrible and graphic, and this is a family-friendly podcast. And you've heard the argument before, so you can fill in the blank. Well, the problem with that argument is that the child has no control over the circumstances of his conception. That is the last thing he could have control over. And the Bible is very clear, whether the child was born or not, it doesn't give a caveat for this, so the Bible is clear that the sins of the son should not be punished, should not be visited on the father, and the sins of the father should not be visited on the son. So when you give the death penalty to an unborn child, which is basically what, not basically, it's exactly what abortion is, then that is giving the death penalty to the child for the sins of his father. And that is clearly immoral. I mean, I don't condone men treating women that way. I don't think it's right. If you do, you're frankly insane, and I think most people would agree with me that men should not do that. But unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, and they do. And the children who result from that should not be given the death penalty for sins they had no say in whether they would happen or not. Could not have a say because they hadn't been conceived yet until it happened. Okay. So then the next problem is they'll say, my body, my choice. But what they're forgetting, or I'm going to say neglecting, because forget implies that you don't realize that you're doing it, versus neglecting is that you're consciously omitting. They're consciously omitting or neglecting the fact that that child is another body. It's a growing body. He or she is a growing body, has not fully formed yet. But that body is still another body, and that person should still have a right to life. The Declaration of Independence states that God gives us the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And John Locke, who the Declaration of Independence took inspiration from in that phrase, said that every man should have the right to life, liberty, and property. That right to life extends to the child because the child is living at the point of conception, from the point of conception onward. So, these people on the left like to talk about human rights. Well, those are human rights too. That child is a human. We've established it. It's not a frog. It's not a cherry tree. It's not a paramecium. It's a human being. And therefore, has rights. And to follow their argument, for the sake of their argument that that child is not fully formed and thus can just get rid of it, most experts agree that the human brain stops developing fully, like it becomes fully developed, I guess is a better way to say that, at some point between the age of 25 to 26. So, would someone who supports aborting a baby after 6 weeks or 20 weeks or however many weeks, would that person also support quote unquote aborting a 21-year-old. I mean, he's not fully developed, his brain's still developing. No, clearly not. So what's the distinction then? It's arbitrary. And they'll say, well, it's not viable. Well, you don't know it's viable or not in most cases if you kill it before it's born. And I know I keep saying it, but that's because a lot of times these are early stage pregnancies and we don't know the gender, whether it's a boy or girl. And we're talking collectively, it's a collective it about like any unborn child, not just one specific. So to clarify that. Anyway, we know that these people would not support killing a 21-year-old, so it's arbitrary to suggest that a 6-week-old in the womb is any different as far as worthy of life. And yes, there are edge cases. Edge cases is a technical term for statistically rare cases. There are cases where it's ectopic pregnancy or there's some other outlying condition that has caused this child to be, in their terms, unviable, quote unquote. It would never, the child would never survive. It would cause, put the mother's life at risk to carry it. Those are very, very rare. And most of the time, the cases they cite are children who could survive. That Texas case of the woman who wanted to kill her baby because he had, what was it, trisomy 13, I think is what it was. Correct me if I was wrong on that. It was some rare genetic disorder. And she wanted to kill him. But the thing is, other children who have been born with that condition have survived outside the womb. They've survived for sometimes years after being born. So her rationale just didn't stand up, and it shouldn't have been granted. That idea that, well, the child's terminally ill, so let's just kill it. No. He or she deserves to live just like any of us. I spoke in a previous podcast about universal health care, and I may do one specifically about euthanasia at some point, but I mentioned how I feel on this subject. It is morally wrong. We are not dogs. The dog is dying. We put the dog down. But humans are not dogs. We are not animals. We do not put people down. I don't care if we're talking about an 86-year-old cancer patient or a 6-week-old child in the womb. Every human being deserves the right to life. So to recap, the arguments for executing preborn children completely fail to hold up. Scientists agree that a conceived child, even when he starts out as a one-celled organism, is a living thing. Because an organism is just a scientifically term for a living thing. Cats are organisms, people are organisms. Although we are higher because we are created in God's image, so we're not animals, but we still are living. Paramecia are organisms. The second argument is when you use obscuring language, implying that a child in the womb is somehow different from a human, it completely falls on its face because a human child in the womb has human DNA and cannot become anything other than a human. The argument for killing the child because of quote unquote bodily autonomy falls on its face because that child's body also has rights to life as granted by God and as acknowledged in the Declaration of Independence. The argument for killing children in the womb is completely arbitrary because people are still developing for years and years outside the womb, and so the idea that you should be able to murder people at one stage and not another is morally indefensible. And even if a child is terminally ill, people are not dogs and should not be put down. And the fact that there are edge cases is something to acknowledge, but those edge cases are extremely rare. And many of the rare cases that are mentioned, other than the terminal illness cases, are cases where the child had no say in the circumstances of his conception, and it is morally and biblically wrong to put a child to death for the sins of his father. I hope you have enjoyed this podcast, or at least become a more informed citizen after hearing it, listening to it. I hope you'll pass it along to anybody who might be interested. Brief reminder that you can currently find it on Spotify and Amazon Music, and I will let you know whenever I get iHeartRadio and Apple Podcasts figured out. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.